Hello all! Welcome to what we hope will be the first of many interviews with the creators of the queer community. This month, if you've been paying attention to our website, you'll have noticed that we partnered with Queer Portraits in History, as run by Michelle Rosenthal. This partnership, and future partnerships, are an effort by Queer History to build up the queer community and to support its creators. Queer Portraits in History was first created by Michelle in 2014 out of a desire to create portraits of her favorite historical queer figures. While this enterprise started on Tumblr, Michelle's portraits garnered quite a bit of attention, and the biographies she wrote for each queer individual she drew grew longer and more detailed. In 2016, she took the first 60 portraits she'd drawn and posted them on her new website, queerportraits.com. These figures come primarily from the 19th and 20th centuries, and Michelle makes it clear on her website why she doesn't go back further. A link to that explanation will be included in the Tumblr description of this episode, but in short, Michelle says that, "To me, Queer Portraits in History isn't just about being queer. It's about the particularly modern experience of knowing we're considered fundamentally different, but living our lives despite that difference, or perhaps becoming better people because of it. And it's about the people who lived that experience before us, the ones who made an impact on society that they knew themselves to be outside of." At present, Queer Portraits in History hosts 69 portraits on its website. I got the opportunity to chat with Michelle on Friday, January 27th, and discuss just how far that project has come. Take a listen. I was wondering, on your About page it says that you started this project in 2014. What kind of artwork or interactions with the queer community were you doing before that?
So before I started this, I wasn't really doing anything specifically queer related. Maybe I had an art piece here and there, but nothing really specific other than hanging out with my friends, talking about this kind of stuff. And the project kind of grew out of that, just having conversations with people, about like, "Hey, did you know about this person?" Just having those conversations. And I talked about starting this project for a while before I actually did it. So kept talking about, "I'm going to do a series of portraits." And then eventually I was like, "I should probably just do it and stop talking about it." It basically started the way all of my personal projects start, which is essentially comes down to fan art. If I like something enough, I will eventually draw it. Kind of comes down to that. So just getting really into these people's biographies, and then had to draw them.
All right. And then how do you think your project has changed from that original kind of interaction with your friends? Do you still get requests from your friends, or?
I've definitely drawn people that friends have requested. I get a lot of requests online now, which is really fun now that I have a handful of readers, because people request people that I would have no idea about. Recommendations are very helpful to me.
Did you have anybody when you started that you really particularly wanted to draw?
Yes. The first one I drew was Oscar Wilde, because he's amazing and because I think he has that really interesting space in queer history where he almost invented it, like, unwittingly. Like, he totally did not set out to be the symbol of what it looks like to be a gay man, but he ended up being that. I started with him, and then some of my earliest ones were Marlene Dietrich and Andy Warhol, and I think I did Wendy Carlos really early on. It was definitely a bunch of people that were just like my favorites, and I wanted to do them right away. And then I thought I would run out of all of my favorites and then just start doing the people I don't care as much about, but that hasn't been the case. Like, everyone I draw is just insanely interesting, and yeah, my list has grown exponentially. It hasn't gotten any shorter. Like, it's gotten longer the more that I've drawn people. My to-draw list is almost always longer than my drawn list.
You did mention, though, that you thought you might run out of ideas at one point. Have there been any really significant challenges you faced, either in drawing or in creating your Tumblr blog or in creating your website?
Challenges? Not really. Well, I guess the biggest challenge in the most literal sense was building the website, which was the thing I did last summer. And that was only a challenge because, mostly because I wanted it to be. I kind of used it as an excuse to learn a lot of programming and to like learn a lot of coding languages that I didn't previously know, and that was kind of my big, like, let's try being a web programmer project. So that was only a challenge because I was kind of crazy about it and like built it all from scratch because I wanted to figure out how to do all of it. It wasn't challenging because the project, it was challenging because of me, because I like to make things difficult.
All right, can you take us through the timeline of creating a portrait? How long does it take you roughly, and where do you typically like to start?
I would say somewhere between 3 to 7 hours would be my estimate, depending on how difficult someone is being. Although I've done enough of them by now where I kind of have it down to a science, I can knock them out a little faster. But the way I do them is the way I pretty much do all my work. It all starts with pencil sketches, and then I scan in the pencil sketch. And then the final drawings are all done in Adobe Illustrator. So they're all vector drawings, for those who know what vectors are. They're all vector drawings. And and for anyone who, again, kind of knows something about digital illustration, I do pretty much all of it with the pen tool, which is a very kind of obsessive way of doing things, but again, I like to make things difficult for myself. So I basically, yeah, I just trace all the pencil drawings in the computer is the short answer.
After you started making these portraits and started sharing them online, you did mention that you've gotten a lot of requests and that you've got this kind of audience now looking at you. How have you been interacting with them lately? Have people been coming to you, or do you reach out to other people? How has it been going with an audience?
It's pretty straightforward. I'm not very good at reaching out to blogs that I admire and giving them the feedback that people give me. I'm terrible about that. I'm just so selfish. I just take it all in and don't give anything back. No, that's not true. I get a lot of really nice messages, and it's mostly people requesting really cool people. And I think I'm really getting the benefit of the relationship with the audience because, I don't know, I'm learning a lot. I feel like I'm getting free education from everyone out there. Yeah, so basically, if anyone wants to contact me through Tumblr or through email, I always try to respond. Not always immediately. Sometimes I'm slow, but I do always respond.
Well, is there anything else you would want your audience to know? Anything that you want to share with them?
Let's see. No, other than if there's someone from my website who's missing, let me know. If there's anyone you'd like to see, right now I'm just trying to get some more eyeballs on the website since that was a big project for me, and I wanted to put all the portraits somewhere a little more permanent, somewhere where you could browse things a little more easily than just scrolling infinitely through Tumblr, and also somewhere where I could again indulge that obsessive side and put like filtering labels on everything. So if you're interested in a certain career or country or identity or any sort of thing, I have like a million ways to filter things on the website because that's what I enjoy. I wanted to be able to put them in a way where you can see the connections between people and see who influenced who. It lets you see certain movements, like certain cities in certain years, just have like all these queer people just converging in this one place and time. And then there are, certain fields where there are just like so many queer people. So I really like seeing that. And then I also try to connect up the people who knew each other or were influenced by each other, or were friends or had rivalries or whatever it was. We were kind of in each other's sphere, because I also like the idea of, painting more of that community. I feel like when you're doing these biographies, it sounds very individual. And I feel like a lot of the stories told are very individual stories. And I think sometimes queer history loses the perspective of the context, like the culture around it, and how many queers there were hanging out, being themselves with each other. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. It's a lot of fun. And your project is incredible. I'm really glad that we could talk to you about it and we can share it with people who follow us.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I really appreciate that you're reaching out and talking to other artists and doing what you do, of course.
And there you have it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Remember to go check out Queer Portraits in History on Michelle's website, on the Tumblr, or on Patreon. All three are linked in the Tumblr description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. Take care of yourselves, and remember, history and media are queerer than you think.